Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer, and we get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you today for the Word of the living God, the promises of the Almighty God, the El Shaddai God. And we thank you for it, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name today. And we thank you for all of our partners all over the world. Glory to God.
Bless them, Lord.
And by faith we say it, we have a million partners.
Wonderful.
Glory to God. Because you promised it, and we receive it. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen,
amen. Amen. Glory to God. Just before Greg gets back into this, David, the most covenant-minded man of the whole first covenant, he's, as a teenage boy, it wasn't what Goliath said that frightened everybody. It was his size.
Yeah.
I mean, he's almost 10 feet tall, 9 feet, nine something. He's a monstrous man. Well, David saw the same thing that they did. He said, so what? And then he said to Goliath, this day.
Yeah.
This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Today. Right. I'm going to kill you today.
Calling those things.
Yeah, I'm going to kill you today. Not next week. I'm going to kill you today.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Saul, this uncircumcised...
That's covenant.
Yeah. This uncircumcised Philistine has no covenant with God. That lion and that bear that I killed with my bare hands had no covenant with God. And so, what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
To him, there's no difference. I'm going to kill him. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, amen.
That's exactly what he said.
That's right.
And he said, I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the name of the angelic armies of God.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what
he said. He invoked angel, his covenant that had angels involved in it, and those angels saw David's good with that sling. But
they directed it.
Boy, let me tell you what, the only place right there, only spot, and over he went.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
And then he climbed up on him, took his sword, and cut his head off.
Yeah, because he didn't come at him with a sword.
That's right.
Came at him with a sling and some rocks that he picked up in the brook.
And a covenant.
And a covenant. That's what he came at him. He came at him with a word. He said to his brothers, is there not a cause? That word in Hebrew can be translated, is there not a word? Is nobody standing on the word?
Come on.
And he came at him. His word was his weapon.
Yes.
You come at me with this, I'm coming at you with a covenant.
Yes, sir.
And a rock.
Well, it's faith and corresponding action.
That's exactly right.
He said it because he believed it in his heart. And then he killed him.
Right. And even when, after that, they started singing praises about him, Saul has killed his thousands, David his tens of thousands. Even in that moment, nobody knew the bear and the lion story. He had kept that in his heart. That's the first place he revealed that, you know, when he was proving himself there to the king. But in that, Saul was delivered into his hands one night. And he didn't, mm-hmm. he didn't kill him.
He wouldn't.
He said, I can't do it because that's covenant.
Yeah.
I cannot touch God's anointed.
That's right.
And that's something we, now more than ever, the body of Christ needs to know. Do not touch God's anointed. Even if you disagree,
yes.
don't say it. Don't let it come out of your mouth. David said, I shouldn't have even cut your garment. I shouldn't have allowed that to happen. And that's a point that
you
David
know,
understood.
Greg, Brother Hagin, when he had that experience, when Jesus, by the Spirit, took him up into heaven.
Yes, sir.
And he made the comment when he flew the first time in an airplane. He said, I experienced this already. I have experienced this because, he said, we went through clouds. But he said, he told him, Jesus told him, now you're going to have to tell the people that you saw me. And you're going to have to tell the people that I put my finger in the palm of your hands. And Brother Hagin said something to the effect, I'll get so much criticism for telling that. And he did.
Yes, he did.
Now, he said, Jesus' eyes just flashed fire. And he said, who calls you? He said, well, you did. Then you answer to me. Amen. They'll stand judgment. They're criticizing you.
Yes, sir.
Now, who called me to preach prosperity?
Jesus did. That's right. And I'm not criticizing you.
So, the people that criticize it.
Yes.
And all kinds of harassment out of that. It doesn't bother me. It used to. But the Lord corrected me on that, see. So, it doesn't bother me.
The persecution's not for you. It's for His sake. Jesus said
that's
that.
That's right. That's right.
That's what He said. It's because of me.
So and then they will at some time or another have to, well, they fundamental principles of the doctrines of Christ are judgments.
Yes, sir.
There's more than one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When I was with Brother Hagin, last time I was with him on the earth, it's 2003. We were pastoring in California, and he was at Ed Dufresne's church.
Yes.
Maria. And, of course, he's in heaven as well. Went up there and was talking to him, and somebody asked him a question, went to lunch with him. One of the guys asked him a question. Brother Hagin, all these ministries that came out from your teaching, you taught them faith, they're all bigger than you now. And of course, you were mentioned and others. And I remember he got quiet and he said, well, amen. He said, I've got good seed in the ground.
Yes,
you could not get him to say anything negative.
Never.
About anyone. Because he learned that.
Yes.
He learned that. And that's the principle that David so acutely understood. Man, I shouldn't have even touched his garment. That's the king that I just touched. And I'm telling you, we live in a world where they want to touch the president and they want to touch this. They want to speak against Nancy Pelosi or somebody else. And you woke me up to that. No, I need to pray for her.
Yes.
I need to pray for the Democrats. I need to pray for the leaders of my country.
Yes.
So I can live peaceful life.
Yes.
In the earth.
Yes.
And it's part of this honor
yes,
of the
yes.
covenant. So when you look at this now, getting into this covenant, we talked about how he gave a spoil to everyone or when they recovered. But how did it all happen? If I could show you, sir, let's go to chapter 28, when 1 Samuel chapter 28, when it mentions in verse 3 that Saul was dead. But if you see here at the top in verse 1, it came to pass in those days that the Philistines, now these is the people that Goliath was from.
That's right.
That David had defeated. The Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, he's the king, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. So David's 600 men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know that what thy servant can do. I mean, you know what I can do. You saw what I did to Goliath. He's telling the king of the Philistines, well, you know what I can do. You saw it. I cut that man's head off. He says right here, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now, look what the king said. I'll make you keeper of my head forever. Now, Samuel was dead. You get on into here, and they're getting ready to go to battle. And over into chapter 29 of 1 Samuel 29, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by the hundreds and by the thousands. But David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Verse 3 of chapter 29. Then said the princes of the Philistines, why are these Hebrews here? And these were the prince, and the king said to the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which has been with me all these days? So David has been living in a Philistine city. He's now partnered with the Philistine king. David reminds him, well, you know what I can do. I'll go to battle with you. But they're about to go to battle with Israel. They're about to go to battle with Saul. This is how far David has gotten with the death of Samuel. He is about to partner with the king of the Philistines that he had killed their champion against Saul. He knows he's going to be the king, but he's about to do it by the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't have a spiritual covering. Saul's dead. Samuel's dead. And so this is Jezreel. This is not to the south where this brook of Besor is. This is all the way up in the Jezreel Valley, up in the Galilee. Jezreel Valley is where the Battle of Armageddon is going to be fought.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a long ways away. Now you understand in chapter 30, 1 Samuel 30, where we started yesterday, came to pass when David and his men, verse 1, came to Ziklag on the third day. Now the Philistine lord said to the king, why are these group of Hebrews with us? What they were afraid of is we're going to go to battle with Saul and David's going to turn on us.
Mm-hmm.
When he realizes, wait a minute, I'm fighting against, because Jonathan was there. That's my covenant brother. I can't fight against him. And David's going to turn on us. He said, so send him away. So they send David away and his men, and they leave. And as you read this, you'll see that they left in the morning, the next morning. And here in chapter 29, 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse 11. So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning to return into the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. So they're up north. They rise in the morning because they said, we don't want these Hebrews with us. We don't want David with us because he's going to turn on us in this battle. David leaves with his men. It takes them 3 days to get back to Ziklag. When they get back to Ziklag, it sets up everything that happens when that they had been attacked while he was gone. So David is living in the wrong place, making partnerships with the wrong people. And he's in the wrong place, and all of his people get hit. And his wives are gone. They take everything. They take all the spoil of Ziklag. And now that's when we find David coming across the brook and chasing this. But once again, Samuel's dead. There's no spiritual leadership in Israel. So he doesn't know what to do. Now, he does some very interesting things. When you get in here in chapter 30, came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day. So, Brother Copeland, they did a three-day march from a battle to get back home to only realize they'd been raided to go into a battle. They're tired. And it says, and Ziklag had been burned with fire and had taken... The Amalekites did this. The Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, it crushed them. when they got back from Jezreel, everything is gone. These guys have served David, they've fought with David, they've run with David, and this is what we get paid, this is the payment we get. Well, now they're about to get blessed, and David is realizing the error of his way. It's so bad in this chapter that they're ready to stone David.
Yeah, they wanted to kill him.
They're going to turn on him. I followed you, and look what happened. And so David, what does he do? Well, you'll see what he does. Greatly, in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the men were grieved, every man for his daughters and for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Mm-hmm.
And David said to the priest, he says, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And he brought the ephod to David. Now, David, the ephod is what the priest wore. Mm-hmm. Samuel's not there. There's no priest. There's no one. So he boldly takes the ephod himself and goes before the Lord with it. Now, the ephod is that breastplate that the priest would wear, part of his holy garments, that the Lord would speak to him. It carried all the tribes of Israel on it. Now, this man's about to become the king. And the king he was about ready to fight is the guy he served with his blood brother, Jonathan. And he goes before the Lord and puts this on and says, he's wearing all of the tribes. He's of Judah. But he's now, I'm coming to you for all of the tribes. I need help. And God speaks to him and answers him. He says, what shall I do?
Pursue
him. And he says, sick him. You know, as we'd say it in Texas, I'm learning Texas talk. He says, sick him. And he goes and he pursues him. But he inquired of the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord.
And you will recover all. And he said, you will recover all.
So that's the word that he's walking on.
Yeah.
When he does that.
His covenant with God, for instance, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His ways of doing things, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, Jesus said that.
Yes.
I took that as a covenant.
It is a covenant.
It is a covenant. Gloria took that as a covenant at a time when we didn't have anything. Mm-hmm. And that's when she got born again. She was raised in a church that never mentioned that phrase. She didn't know anything about it. And I was out hunting for a job. I messed up the other one. But my mother was praying all those years for me. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, then for Gloria. Mother had a covenant with God,
yes.
My mother, and it was based on 1 Peter 5. And she said, she threw her Bible down on the kitchen table. She said, I've prayed for him all I'm going to. If he goes to hell, it's your fault, not mine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gloria got saved that next week. I got saved 2 weeks later than that. Because she said to the Lord, I certainly do need things. Yes. Lord, take my life and do something with it.
And He did.
And He did.
Yes,
He did. All of these things, when you become mindful of covenant relationship with God, I have a covenant relationship with Gloria. You have a covenant relationship with Michelle.
Yes, I do.
Amen. Cynthia, you have a covenant relationship with Joe, and so forth and so on. Well, I am very aware of my covenant with her. It's on my mind all the time.
Yes, sir.
Because she's on my mind all the time.
That's right.
And she's the one that changed my life.
Mm-hmm. For me, I'm looking for ways to bless her.
Yes, absolutely. Because I am in a blood covenant with her in the blood of Jesus.
That's right. Now, see, everything that David's done up to this point is by the flesh. I'll work with him to get where I need to be to do this.
Just figure it out.
And I'll figure this out. And when he got to a point that it was so low that because he was gone, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's even living in the wrong place. He's living with the Philistines. Reminds me a lot, living with Sodom.
Yeah.
Abraham decided, I'm not living there. I'm going to play in the place I'm supposed to be. When you're in your right place, this wouldn't have happened. But David did the right thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He went and he inquired of the Lord. I messed up. I need help. What would you have me do? Do we go after him? What do you want me to do? Because his men are
now tired. That my cross reference there says that they were, when they were getting ready to stone him, that they were bitter.
Yes.
They had bitterness in their hearts toward David.
Yes.
And
their hearts had melted in them. Yeah. I mean, they're wore out.
Yeah.
I've served you all of this way, and now look what happened. And you can't let your heart get bitter to your covenant partner, your minister, your covering that you have. You cannot allow that bitterness to get in you.
No, sir.
At all. You just can't tolerate.
What did Jesus say? Pray for your enemies.
Yes.
Pray for those that despitefully use and persecute you.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Because they are actually coming against him.
That's right.
Yes.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Jesus, in his own ministry, they all walked away from him at one point. He looked at the 12 and said, well, what about you guys? Are you staying or you're going? I need to know. And I said, where would we go?
Yeah, they thought about it.
Sure, they thought about
it. There's no place for us to go.
Where would we go? And that's the mentality we got to get, that my covenant with him is so strong that if you never blessed me another day in my life, I'm okay with that. But I know you and I know how you are, and you will, because that's the way you are.
That's the way it is.
And he can't stop. He can't not bless, because that's who he is. He is love. And you got to get to a place where, though all else turn, I won't turn.
That's right.
And I'm going to be that way.
Jesus is compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't just have it. He is compassion.
That's right.
He is mercy or chesed.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
That's what he is.
And it's new every morning, and it endures forever. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
And he didn't with David. Even though David is partnering with the wrong people, going against his own covenant, God never left him. Spoke to him right there and told him what to do. Here's what you do. Let me get you out of this. And he's been faithful. Man, he's Brother Copeland. He's gotten me out of so many things I put myself into that he had no part of. But he's faithful.
And we're out of time.
And we're out of time.
Jeremy, come on, son. Help us here.
Thank you, Papa. Now listen, the blessing comes into your life through your covenant connection with God and with those He's called you to partner with. The blessing comes by association. The Word says in 1 Samuel 30 that the men who stayed behind to watch over the supplies were blessed even though they didn't go to battle. Now we are joined in covenant with God and to one another, and everything flows to us from covenant partnership. That's why it's so important to be connected in partnership in the places where God calls you.
As a born-again believer, you're covered by a covenant. When you accepted Jesus into your life, you partnered with God and entered His covenant promises. With the Our Covenant with God package, two powerful resources by Kenneth Copeland, you'll learn of the irrevocable promise that you have through Jesus. In the Blood Covenant CD series, discover how your covenant with God was fulfilled through Jesus. It's an unbreakable agreement that lays the foundation for you to receive the breakthrough to victory coming into your life. In the mini book, Our Covenant with God, learn about the terms of your covenant agreement when you receive Jesus into your heart. God promised to never leave your side, and as His child, you have the blessing working on your behalf. Make the promises of God real every day. Put a demand on the anointing by faith to show up in your life. Turn your mind to what belongs to you in your covenant with God as you take hold of who you are in Jesus and who He is in you.
Covenant promises belong to you as a believer. Be sure to request our Covenant with God package free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Gain insight into your covenant partnership with God and discover how He fulfilled it in Jesus for you. Go to kcm.org/victory offer or call 877-615-4267. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Today, Brother Copeland prayed for all his partners around the world and by faith said it out loud, "We have 1 million partners." Now, that was based on a word from the Lord that he received. Now, for those of you who are partners, listen, thank you. We thank you. We thank God for you. Thank you for standing. Thank you for sowing and standing alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland to preach this uncompromised word of faith. Together, we've helped send this gospel from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around the middle, and you're a part of it. You're a part of every broadcast, every magazine, every product, every event, all the way down to every social media post that's sent out to minister the gospel. And because of you, generations have now heard the word of faith and lives are changed forever all over this globe. And that's the power of partnership. If you're not yet a partner with this ministry and you'd like to become a partner with KCM, go to kcm.org/partner. And Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. It's an audio series and a book by Brother Copeland that will help you gain a deeper revelation about your relationship as a partner in God's covenant. And because of Jesus, you need to know this. You are a joint heir with Him. You can receive everything that belongs to Him because it's in that relationship, in that covenant relationship, it is rightfully yours. And in a time when hope and victory are so badly needed, you can stand confident in your covenant with God and not be afraid. And learn how to take God's word as your only evidence. Let Him show Himself strong to you and through you, His covenant friend. So to get your free package, go to kcm.org. And while you're there on the website, check out everything kcm.org has to offer. Go back and watch past broadcasts, catch up on past meetings, get the word into your heart, and let it do what only the word can do, bring change to your life forever. Thanks so much for watching today, everybody. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Today's Believer's Voice of Victory was brought to you by the partners and friends of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Go to kcm.org/victory offer to download or request a free copy of today's broadcast. 2021 is the year of the local church, a year of divine healing, divine health, divine prosperity, and divine recovery.
Welcome to kcm.org, your study center for victory. Watch the BVOV broadcasts on demand. Search by topic or speaker and study along with the detailed daily broadcast notes. Or download the podcast version to listen on the go. Total immersion in the Word of God at home, in the car, at the gym, or in the waiting room. Find a schedule of KCM events and watch on demand. Search by date, speaker, or keyword for hours of inspiring truth from the Bible. KCM.org meets you where you are.